From years of anxiety to warrior and mentor, Bradley Robinson created the Anxiety Project to help you end your anxiety naturally. Let's mold the new you and let's end anxiety together.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Anxiety Project podcast. Welcome back to the community. Let's explore anxiety together. And today I'm talking about anxiety and how it strengthens faith, not just mine, but the many people that I've come to talk with in regards to health anxiety, agoraphobia, depression, depersonalization. When suffering comes about, which it will, you then begin to question your place here and now. Anxiety, what that is paths too many in front of you. The unknown is there. How do you traverse the unknown so that things can be better? And better, what is that exactly? What constitutes better? And I grew up agnostic. I never went to church. My family wasn't Catholic, or I never had the Bible shoved in my face once. But I had this conscience where I would swear when I was a teenager, younger than that, and I would be like, oh, I'm sorry, God, for swearing. What was that? Why the conscience? God? What does this all mean? And so let's explore that today. And first of all, anxiety taught me that the person that I was had to transcend their limitations and reconstruct my identity. And that was through action, just acting out a different path. I didn't like who I was. I decided to flip it upside down and do things differently. And it sounds simple. It was not simple. It was the biggest adventure of my life, but the most meaningful one, and one that I hold near and dear to me. I'll never forget. Changed me for the better. What I want to emphasize here is this separation from unconscious state to conscious state, where one is no longer at the whim of impulses, drives, reactions, desires, but one begins to gain control over these internal processes. This is the separation from childhood, from dependency, to individuation. You are no longer swimming in the sea of chaos. And that's the black paisley in the yin and yang symbol. You know, you have the white paisley and the black paisley. You know, the white with the little black dot and the black with the little white dot. And you're swimming out in chaos. You're swimming in the yang. But adding stability and order is necessary. That's the yin to the yang. And today I want to dive into Cain and Abel, because we see the yin and the yang play out here, where Abel is the yin, Cain is the yang. And they're the adversary brothers. The hero is the one that separates themselves from attachment, from unconsciousness. They emerge away from this dependent state. And Abel is that person. Abel is the one that gives up his most prized possession. And he is prosperous. He is successful because of this. And the future rewards him because of this. That if you give up something you are attached to, sugar, pornography, video games, smoking. If you give up these things, you will be rewarded for it. But it's a leap of faith. Cain, on the other hand, remains attached to unconscious processes, like a slave in a tyranny. He is both the corrupt state and the slave at the same time. Because think about it this way. We get hints that his sacrifices are insufficient because, first of all, God doesn't favor him. And second of all, you can tell by the quality of his sacrifice. Abel is sacrificing his most prized lamb, and Cain is sacrificing the fruits of his labor, the produce that he's farmed off of his land. I also thought of something interesting here. Let's just say the story says, well, Abel's sacrificing his lamb, and Cain is sacrificing a cattle, a lamb, say. But God is favoring Abel. You can even, if you want to look more deeply into this, you can even say, well, what if Abel is sacrificing his lamb once a week and Cain is sacrificing his lamb once a month? That would make sense to why God would favor Abel more. But I think you have to look at the mindset of Abel. That's the key thing here. Abel's mind is of the growth mindset. Like if someone else came along and was sacrificing maybe more than what Abel is sacrificing, Abel is the type of character to go, I'm intrigued on what you're doing because I want to improve on myself. Maybe you can teach me something here. But Cain is the opposite of that. Cain's mind is, well, I don't want to acknowledge the fact that you're successful because the fact that you're successful is being a harsh judge on me. You know, you come into contact with those people now and again who are way more successful than you. They're more disciplined than you. They work out more than you. And there's something that is attractive, but at the same time, you're resistant towards them. You're envious of them, and that's all compressed into the star is in God. It's God itself is the harshest of judges. Because, you know, the higher the ideal, the harsher the judge. And so Cain, he's attached to what he already knows. He is both the corrupt state and the slave at the same time because he refuses to acknowledge what makes Abel successful, right? The fact that he gets bitter about it is an indicator that, you know, Abel is doing a lot more, right? There's something there. There's something glimmering. Like if there wasn't anything glimmering there, obviously Cain would just think that, you know, oh, this is just the way things are. And, you know, I have an excuse to why I'm failing because Abel's failing. It's like, no, Abel's succeeding and I'm failing. So he entertains one side of the story. The story he only wants to hear that justifies his failure. And so he's entertaining this idea that the reason that he's failing is due to being itself is corrupt. That Everyone's against me. I'm dealt a bad hand. And stories like this, who wrestle with good and evil, it captivates us because we can watch these characters, these avatars of ourselves, really, that's what they are. They're avatars of ourselves, and they wrestle with these morals, ethics, and these choices, and they learn from the consequence, and we learn from these consequences. And so they resonate with us because obviously we are dealing with the unknown. We deal with the uncertainty of life because there's so much of that. We're swimming in uncertainty. And we, you know, it's interesting because we love movies. We're drawn to them. We're drawn to books, great works of art. We see ourselves in these things. But not only that, we see ourselves even in our own minds, because you know this, we play out simulations in our mind of situations that we may wind up in the future. And so, like, for example, you play out the avatar of you saying something to your boss about how, you know, you're not satisfied, or maybe you want a raise or something, and we're seeing how we should play that out. You know, what to say and what not to say, how to act and how not to act in our mind. And then we take the best possible scenario in that movie that we generate, and then we act it out in the world. And then maybe we're going to get a half decent result because we've already played out the scenario. I mean, your mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imagined. So you're going to get the emotion when you play it out in your mind. And it's important that we do that, because maybe if we dispense on the avatars in those situations that don't work, then we won't unconsciously act it out. That we could actually formulate a path through the unknown through our imagination. That's huge. That's why I always recommend to you guys, to my clients, that if you have something unknown in the future that you're ruminating about, a job interview, or what if you're going to get a job, or, you know, whether you're going to survive an anxiety attack in a certain situation, you play out the movie out in your mind of how you want the situation to go and the best possible strategies that you can implement when that situation actually comes about. It's so crucial. And so these stories, like Cain and Abel, they help us lay out the best course of action. Harry Potter, Hobbit, they help us navigate through the unknown. What's our best bet forward in life? And so more often than not, we have to choose. We have choices between difficult choice A, poison A, or difficult choice B, poison B. And a lot of people are just paralyzed because it's like, do I break up with this person or stay with this person? Because if I break up with them, then I'm on my own. What if I never find anyone else again? Or if I stay with this person, then I don't have the opportunity to go out into the world and maybe finding somebody. And then, you know, if I stay with this person, then maybe I can stay with what's comfortable and what's familiar, but also I'm still going to have these lurking feelings that I'm unfulfilled, or I'm not satisfied, or who knows? It's like, what do I do? Like, I'm not happy now. And then if I sacrifice this, I might not be happy in the future. So maybe I should stay with, you know, this poison. It's like, how do you choose between poison A and poison B? That's the thing. That's the wrestling with the conscience, right? And that's a fundamental part of existence. As we move through life, your conscience is as developed as you. And that's a hard, harsh realization. I mean, how do you know when to listen to it? Because it's like, it's teetering on yes and no. And so some people are like, I just don't know which path to choose. And there's this great line in the Bible that says, if you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. And what this indicates for me is if you're in the middle, indecisive, you don't know which path to choose, being in the middle and not choosing a path is worse than choosing a path. So choose a path. You might fail, but what happens is once you choose a path, you then know, you take the lessons of that path, and then maybe you can take the other path once you actually walk down a path. But actually not walking down any paths, that's the worst place to be. You don't want to be there because the dragons of both paths will actually grow in size. And then you're just going to be confined, boarded up in your own home, unable to make any decision whatsoever. So make a decision. It might not be the best one for you, but the fact that you made it, you're going to learn from that. And then you can steer yourself in a different direction once you learn. And I noticed for me that this internal voice of the conscience, right, this voice wanted me and still does wants me to face the difficulty of life. It wants me to face the danger. And we all get to a point where it is just you and your conscience that needs to make the choice, and not your family, not your doctor, not your therapist. But you get to a point where, man, these people in your life that you've relied on, that you've depended yourself upon to help you make decisions, don't know more about your situation than you do, because you're a complex creature. And maybe they just, they're at that point where they don't know what the best is for you. Maybe you were sheltered your whole life, and you're going to the people that sheltered you and for comfort, for reassurance, but that's not the best for you in strengthening your character. But maybe you need to educate yourself from someone who went further down the path than that you're on, because you're in a territory of what you already know. You're in a kind of like a boxed, you're in a boxed place of certainty, and you look around and you see a fence, and then beyond the fence is this pathway into the dark woods. And then you go, well, I'm unhappy, I'm unfulfilled, I'm feeling hopeless, I'm just clinging to what I already know, what I already deem to be relevant in my life, but there's this pathway over here that I haven't trotted down. Do I jump the fence and go down there? And for me, I was so deeply anxious and hopeless and depressed that when I saw this path, I'm like, well, there's no other option for me but to go down that path, because everything that I've done before isn't working. You know, the reassurance, the doctor visits, the Xbox, the weed, the alcohol, whatever it is, I didn't fix anything. Where do I go? And that's the answer, is down that path that leads into the darkness. A lot of people don't want to go down there because you have to admit that, first of all, what you've been doing is insufficient, there, that's where you need to go. And so at many times in our lives, we feel that God, we feel the world is against us. We feel like we're dealt a bad hand, and there are roads we can walk down that make it worse for us. It makes things worse. But there's also a road that could possibly get us out in one piece. And that's the road I'm talking about, the one over the fence. And Abel is the one with the mind that if we let go of our attachments to what we already know, then perhaps we have a chance. And that's the shedding of the skin. Abel has a growth, open mindset. Cain holds on to what he already knows. But what you know is limited. It's constrained to familiar territory. Refusal to look beyond the fence. You know that there's a pathway. You decide not to walk down that pathway. The leap of faith is jumping the fence in hopes of incorporating what's new, incorporating the unknown, that life could be better. And are you willing to give up comfort in order to grow? Comfort, though, is already finite. Comfort is fleeting. It's like water in the palm of your hand. The snake will always enter at some point. So, how do you buttress yourself from the complexity of life? If the snake always gets in, maybe you should look to the snake and study the snake, the thing that bites you. You should study the path into the woods. Maybe your first step is to jump the fence and just look around the corner. Maybe that's all you can tolerate right now. And that's good. That's what you need. Set the bar just enough so that you can reach it, but also discover, you know, a little bit of yourself that you haven't discovered before, that you could tolerate the jumping of the fence. And maybe you look around the tree, and then maybe you walk a little bit down the path over a week, over a month. You're curious. Cain is not curious. That's the problem. He could have just taken that jump, just looked around the corner, even if it's just for one day or a moment. But no, he puts up a wall and he says, the path, I don't even want to acknowledge that that's there. Anxiety is the calling forth to add structure into your life in order to buttress yourself from the uncertainty of existence. And you've not yet mastered this uncertainty, and you haven't developed the resources to properly handle the uncertainty. And so you have to study why you're so anxious, because you're obsessing over it for a reason. I always love this metaphor. Try going to bed at night knowing that there's a snake behind your refrigerator. There's no way you're going to bed until you deal with the snake. So what makes you think that you're going to be fine ignoring the monsters in the closet, ignoring the the many chaotic snakes you're wrangling. You have to deal with them one at a time. Faith is this burning away of our attachments. That is the adventure in the unknown. That's what it is. And with the blessing of YouTube, we can observe those who already took that leap. And we can see for ourselves the effect it has over their life. Cain doesn't want to acknowledge Abel and what he's doing correctly. He just shakes his fist at him. But what if he decides to look to Abel and see, well, you know, out of curiosity, just, you know, he peeks his head over the fence just to see the behaviors he's acting out. Maybe he can imitate at least one of them. But he does not do that. He shuts Abel down immediately. He kills Abel in the end. He kills his highest ideal. Imagine how many people do that nowadays. Symbolically, they shut down people like David Goggins or Jordan Peterson or Joe Rogan or whoever it is out there. The people who are unbelievably disciplined and who do hard things, who criticize them. You probably know those people in your office or your workplace who kind of simplifies someone complicated like Goggins. You can't simplify someone like Goggins. You can't do that. People who simplify Goggins, they don't want to acknowledge him at all. Goggins is that all judgmental, all-seeing eye that criticizes their own weaknesses and insecurities. And so, Cain, you can shut the door to growth and those who obtained higher order, or learn, be curious. The gateway to God is self-acceptance, not of just who you are now. That's part of it. That's a big part of it. Accepting that you're flawed and insufficient, but who it is you could be. And that's where I'm going to leave you today on this podcast episode. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. If you haven't already, go over to Spotify. Just leave a quick rating of the podcast. I would greatly appreciate that. I love you all so much. I love being here every week to do the podcast. And make sure you go over to the YouTube channel and subscribe. Join the community because I post videos there weekly. Rise above anxiety. I'll see you next time.
Brad's Powerful Anxiety Recovery Program is now available at unpluganxiety.com. The Anxiety Project Program is downloadable and puts the power of anxiety recovery in your own hands. Visit unpluganxiety.com for more details. Recovery starts now.